We're going to do Bible reading. So the passage is, the passage is Hebrews 10, verses 22 to 25. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each one another, and all the more as you say that see the day approaching.
Good morning, everybody. My name's David Lynch. I'm one of the pastors here at Summerlees, and it's great to be able to welcome you back for the second instalment of our Why Gather series. So let me lead us in a prayer, because as always, we're dependent on God to help us understand His Word. Make sure you keep that passage open, that Hebrews passage, because we'll be dipping back into that. I'll lead us in a prayer, and then we'll get stuck into it. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of being able to gather. Again, we haven't prayed this much lately, but we really do just thank you so much that we can do it. We know that there are brothers and sisters very close at hand, actually, just over in Victoria, who would dearly love to be able to do what we're doing this morning, but who can't. We know there are numerous other brothers and sisters around the world that don't have this privilege right now either. And so we don't take this for granted. We are very thankful that we can gather as church face-to-face. That is a blessing. But there is so much more to gathering to be thought about and considered. And this series is all about that. So help us, Father, as we study your word, as we think about the nature of church and what that does among us. And by the power of your Spirit, would you convict us and change us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As I just said, we're in part two of our Why Gather series. And if you were here last week, then you were here for part one, so that was great. You'll remember that we're actually doing this series because what we want to do is we want to develop a really strong, rock-solid why for gathering as God's people. Okay, so we looked at the fact that we actually need to have strong whys for things. That is, we need strong reasons for things if we're to persevere at them and stick with stuff, particularly when things are difficult. And what I put to you last week is that there is a sense in which gathering, even though at the moment I think we're still kind of riding the wave of just sheer relief of being off Zoom and being face-to-face again, there is a sense in which I think over the next few months, gathering will be a little bit tricky. Why do I say that? Well, we've undergone some huge changes as a church. Church, Summerlees, is really, really different now than what it was back in February and early March. It's very different to the way that it used to be. And so I think if we're to survive this and pull through in good shape and really get our two congregations up and running and established, we need a rock-solid motivation for church. Our big why for gathering as the people of God has to be bang on, okay? And we kicked things off last week just by getting our heads around, the most foundational part of our why. And we saw, well, why gather? Well, the most important reason, the big thing right at the center of it, is to bring glory to God, okay? Before gathering is about us, before it's even about other people, it's actually first and foremost about the glory of God. So that's what we looked at last week. But having done last week, that's not to say that gathering's got nothing to do with people at all. In fact, if you look around at what a church is, it's a building full of people. So people must figure in there somewhere, right? And that's kind of what the next 2 weeks are about. Because actually, church has a lot to do with people. But we do need to think about other people the right way for our why to be really strong. What do I mean by that? Well, see, I think often we think about, when we think about church and we think about other people at church, we tend to think about what other people can do for us and how other people impact us. So we ask questions like, well, do I like the other people around me at church? Are they nice for me to be around? Do they do things for me? Do I have things in common with them? And when church is like that, well, yay, you know, I love being at church. And it's not surprising, isn't it? Because we like other people that are like us. And in one sense, you know, don't hear me saying that's all bad. There's nothing wrong with that. There is something really nice about being with people that you get along with well. And that is a nice thing that church can provide for you. Okay, so in one sense, there's nothing wrong with that. But what I do want to say is that if that is core, if that is the central part of your why for being a church, then it will lead to problems. Because if people don't meet my needs, then suddenly I'm not so keen on church anymore. And it can be a little bit fragile because really your kind of commitment to church and what you get from church and what you give to church is really very dependent on other people's ability to be able to respond to your needs and your personality and the things that you like. Can you see how that could be a fragile state of affairs? Now, I think that's particularly the case at the moment at Summerlees because, and it will be in the coming months, because we've just planted a new congregation. We're now two congregations. So it might be that some of the people that, you know, you've really loved and got along well with, your friends, well, maybe they're at 10:30 now. So that could be an issue. You might start to miss that. Or maybe you'll find that in you know, your new congregation, you're rubbing shoulders with people that perhaps you don't get on with quite as naturally as others. And you might find that a little bit difficult. And if that's the case, well, you can see how that's going to cause problems for us gathering, can't you? Could make it very tempting just to give up and not gather a couple of months down the track. So what I think we need to do today is actually get our thinking about people the right way around and make sure that's a sort of a solid why, that we get that working in our why the right way, because other people do fit into it. But here's the thing, we mustn't first and foremost ask, what do other people do for me? I think the first question's got to be, what can I do for others? Okay, and that's actually really the Jesus approach when you think about it. We saw that through our costly discipleship series, didn't we? Remember that? We looked at the king who didn't come to be served, but we looked at a servant king, the one that came to serve and give his life for others. And that's what he calls us to do. So I think it's really key that we get that the right way around. And actually, what I want to show you this morning is that a key part of our why for gathering, one of the key reasons, is actually to build disciples for Jesus. A big part of your gathering is to help others grow as disciples for Jesus. Now, I'm guessing there's a lot of you that want to build disciples for Jesus. You know, you read Matthew 28 and the Great Commission, and he calls us to go out and make disciples. So I'm guessing a lot of you are thinking, yeah, I'd love to make disciples for Jesus, but perhaps you're a bit unsure about where to start. Well, what I want to say is actually just by being here today, you've started. Just you being here this morning is you helping make disciples for Jesus. You can actually play a huge role in building disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ just by rocking up on a Sunday morning. It's quite incredible, really, isn't it? So let me show you how that works. And the first thing I want to show you is that you gathering actually encourages other people. Just you being here is an encouragement to other people. And I think we saw that in that Hebrews passage, didn't we? So look at it again with me, verses 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, 24. It says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but," here's the encourage, "let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, I think what you see there really clearly in Hebrews 10 is actually that just meeting together is one of God's ordained means for us to encourage one another and be encouraged and to be spurred on and to spur on others to live faithfully as Christians. It's just a God-ordained means of that. The letter to the Hebrews, if you're not familiar with it, it's actually written to a bunch of Christians who come from a Jewish background, but they've heard the gospel, they've trusted in Jesus, but now they're under pressure. And they've got people from that Jewish religious culture trying to pull them back into the ways of Judaism again. And really, what the letter to the Hebrews is all about, it's the writer saying to them, don't do that. Don't go back. Stay encouraged. Stay part of Jesus' people. Don't go back. Stick with Jesus. And if you read through Hebrews, it's just dripping. Dripping with reasons for why you should stick at it, stay with Jesus. And one of the key big things that the writer's telling us here is that if we're to stand firm, if we're to persevere, if we're to not fall away and make it to the end, then we need together. Can you see how he's saying that? Now, the thing that you might not realize is that you, all of you, every single person in this room, play a key role in helping every other person in this room stand firm to the end. It's a great privilege of being a Christian, but you can have a great impact on the other people in your church. Just you being here directly contributes to the encouragement of other people, to the strength of others, to the perseverance of others. And note there that Hebrews 10, and I guess when you see how important you being here is, tells us that that's something that we need to consider. We need to consider this. It's not something that you just sort of wait and see and leave to the last minute and decide about on Saturday night or Sunday morning. It's not something that's subject to a better offer. Now, the word consider, that means to think carefully about something. Yeah, that's what considering is. Considering is thinking carefully. You need to think carefully about how your being here encourages others. Now, you might ask, well, how does it exactly do that? Why is me being here on a Sunday morning so special? Why is that so important? Well, there's a few reasons. As I said, actually, just your presence is a tremendous encouragement. Just your presence, that's it. You know, when someone rocks up to church and they walk in and they see this place full, when they see all of the other members making the gathering a priority, that actually sends a message, believe it or not. It sends a message. It says, without you even saying anything, just your presence says, you know what, God is important to me. What God says is important to me. That's why I'm here. It's got to be right. You know, if all of these people, if I walk in and I see all these people sitting here making this a priority on a Sunday morning, what that says to me is, gosh, this must be something important. This must be worth it, or else they wouldn't be here. Yeah. What's more, if everyone's here, just the sheer vibe and presence of the crowd, it's a tremendous encouragement to others. Now, of course, that can only happen when we show up. Our gathering feeling full and vibey and good comes about as a result of all of us making the choice individually to be here. Yeah. And so that's the thing I really want you to realize is just your presence, just your bum on that seat is actually a huge encouragement to everyone else. But when you consider the encouragement of others carefully, as Hebrews 10 calls us to do, you realize that actually you can encourage people with so much more than just your presence. I mean, just you being here is very encouraging, but actually you could even go a step further if you wanted to and encourage people with so much more. Because if you're actually here, you can talk to people. You can be present, but you can also talk to people. And you can make people encouraged by doing that. So if you think about the new person, I know we've got a few new people with us at Summer Lees in both our services at the moment. It's actually quite hard to be a new person or a visitor because you don't really know anyone yet. And so you're sort of standing around and there's that sort of, I don't know if you as regulars can remember what it was like when you were a new person, but you're standing around and you're kind of thinking, is anyone going to talk to me? And so you pull your phone out, you do this for a bit, and then you go, oh, maybe I should just go, or do I, what? Yeah. It's actually quite a hard thing when you don't know anyone and you're coming into a group. But if you're here, you can actually talk to the new person and encourage the new person and help them feel at home. You can also encourage the person that's doing well and wants to chat about how to apply the Word of God in their life and kick ideas around. You can have that conversation. And also, if you're showing up regularly, then it's highly likely you know who's doing it tough, who's not doing so well, who's struggling and who maybe could really do just with some help and some comfort and some encouragement. And you could help that person as well. Finally, if you're here, you can keep an eye out for the harried person who's trying to, you know, maybe do music or lead a kid's thing or whatever, and while sort of juggling a toddler under an arm and trying to set up it. You can help that person as well. You can do all of that. You can be such an encouragement to all of those people. But of course, you've got to be here to do it. You've got to be here to do any of it. So that's the first thing I want you to see is just gathering just encourages others. But the second thing that, and it's kind of really a sub-point, I suppose, of that point, is that gathering can be an extra special encouragement to your leaders, to your church leaders. Now, of course, that affects me and it affects Phil and it affects Isaac, but actually I don't really want to so much talk about the staff today. It's not really so much about us as the sort of the paid staff that I'm thinking about when I talk about the leaders. I'm actually really wanting you to think about the large host of volunteer leaders that we have here at Summerlees that I personally am just so thankful for and who are working really hard in our church, you know, week in, week out to look after people and keep things ticking over well. They're the people I want us to think about this morning. Because here's the thing, every week we benefit from these people. We've got people pouring time into kids' ministries and planning things and organizing things and leading gospel communities and recruiting people to do stuff so that things can tick over, planning ministries, getting here early, doing all of that stuff. And they do it passionately, and they do it because they love the church, and they pray for us, and they organize things for us, and they think about us. They feel the burden of our struggles. And here's the thing, when you're here, that's actually one of the best things you can do to encourage those people. It's so simple, isn't it? But just showing up does that. It's such an encouragement. Because when it comes to your leaders, it's like you take all of those things that I just said in point one and you turn the volume up to 11 with your leaders. Yeah. Because the fact that you're prioritizing God's church, what that says to your ministry leaders is that their work is not in vain. It's a great encouragement. It shows them that what they're doing is achieving something. It's one of the easiest ways you could ever encourage them, in fact. It shows them in a visible, concrete way that all of the work and effort and emotion and energy that they pour into the ministries is having a positive effect. Now, surely we want encouraged, passionate leaders, don't we, in our church? I know I definitely do. Really helps me out, but it's good for all of you as well. We want them to stick at it, don't we? Don't we want them to stick at it and keep doing what they're doing? Later on in Hebrews, it talks about how it's important that you make it a pleasure for your leaders, because if it was a chore and hard and horrible for them, what benefit would it be for us? And I think that's just so true. We want them encouraged and passionate and sticking at it. Summerlees would be a disaster without them. We want them encouraged and happy. And here's the thing, they are very key to the whole disciple-making mission. So in a way, just you encouraging them directly contributes to disciples being made for Jesus, if you get what I mean. Well, just you being here does all of that. But it's also worth noting that the reverse is also true. The reverse is also true. When you regularly don't gather, you will discourage them and worry them because they care about you and they think about you and they pray for you. So that's worth thinking about. It really encourages our leaders. All right, so I've seen showing up encourages others. It especially encourages our leaders. But the other thing I want to show you is that us gathering confirms the power of the gospel. And that actually supports evangelism. That supports evangelism. Now, you might actually be thinking, well, hang on, how does me being here on a Sunday morning confirm the power of the gospel and support evangelism? Well, I'm glad you asked. I reckon the reason that you being here supports evangelism is, well, it's kind of two key ways, actually. I think, first of all, Jesus tells us in the gospel that our love for one another actually demonstrates the power of the gospel and shows people that we are authentic disciples of Jesus. Our love for one another demonstrates the power of the gospel and shows people that we are authentic disciples. Take a look at John 13 with me. This is John 13, verses 34 to 35. Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." And then look at this next verse. By you loving one another, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And it's interesting, just a couple of chapters on in John 17, 21, he kind of carries on with this theme, and he returns to the whole idea, and he says, "My prayer is not for them alone," so this is Jesus praying at the moment, "but I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message." Incidentally, that's us. And what does he pray for the disciples back then and us now, those who have believed in him through their message? Well, he prays that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Now, if you've been at some of these for a while, yeah, we've talked about these verses a lot. They're really key to why we kind of emphasize community the way that we do. But I think the really striking thing that you see in them is that our love for each other and our unity as a church actually shows that we are truly Jesus' disciples. It actually shows the world that God loves us and that Jesus was sent by the Father. It does all those things. Our love for each other and our unity communicates all of that. Now, here's the rub. One of the key places that people get to see this is right here on a Sunday morning. In fact, for some people, this might be the only place they ever get to see it. Because some people they're comfortable visiting a church on a Sunday morning. They might not be comfortable visiting a gospel community or anywhere else, but they might come here, and if they come here, they get to see it. They get to see the preaching confirmed to them by the relationships that are around them. Because they will see people changed by Jesus, loving one another for Jesus' sake, showing grace to each other despite our differences. It's worth asking, isn't it? What do we want our visitors to witness? Well, that's the first way that just you showing up confirms the power of the gospel and supports evangelism. But the second way is also just really about the vibe. Yeah. Now, I know talking about the vibe can be a bit vague, so let me just try and explain what I mean by that. Yeah, when a visitor walks in on a Sunday morning, what do we want them to think and feel and sense? What sort of atmosphere is going to dignify the God that we worship? What sort of environment is going to dignify the importance of hearing the Word of God preached? What sort of atmosphere is going to truly convey the significance of God's people gathered together? The thing is, and I'm sure you've noticed this yourself, when there's everyone here, it's a great vibe. It's marbo. It's not really marbo. It's just a good vibe. It's a great vibe. Yeah, the singing's kind of better and louder, isn't it? It's easier to preach. There's a vibe of action and expectation. You can't help but think, wow, I'm part of something here. This is great. This is awesome. Look at all these people. They've made the effort to be here. This must be serious stuff that we're dealing with. God is doing something here. That's the kind of the vibe, isn't it? When we all show up, that's how it feels. And don't you want the visitor to experience that? So I know we do have some visitors here this morning. I'm sorry I keep talking about you all the time. It's just because we care about you and we want you to feel welcomed and have a good vibe, you know, experience it all. We want our meetings to reflect Jesus to you. So when our visitors rock up and they can't help but see these gatherings as a reflection of God, we want that to be a positive thing, don't we? How do we want to reflect him? And of course, As with all of the other points, so too is the case with this one. If you don't show up, it's not neutral. You're actually making it harder for us to confirm the power of the gospel, because all the rest of the stuff goes down. So when you show up, you confirm the power of the gospel and you support evangelism. But when you don't show up, you make it harder for all of that to happen. And can I just say on a quick note, I think this is more important than it's ever been, or perhaps back in the very early summer of these days when we're sort of back at this size, in fact, probably smaller than this size then, but it's become even more important now that we're two congregations, because each congregation is smaller. And so people's presence and enthusiasm is absolutely critical. Okay, one last reason. Now, I know this is controversial because I've actually got 4 points. Yeah? Didn't see that coming, did you? But there you go. Might be the only time you ever get to see this, but there are 4 points. So there you go. Last reason why gathering is so important in making disciples. Here's the thing, right? Gathering sets a good example for your kids and for your new believers. Now, kids, I'm going to talk about you a lot in this, so sorry, it's just because I love you and we care about you, and we want to set good examples for you, so sorry for that you're going to be talked about. And if you're a new believer, we're going to talk about you too, but again, it's because we love you and we care about you. We want good examples set for you, okay? Here's the thing. Kids and new believers need good models. It's no surprises. I mean, that just goes across the board. We've got heaps of teachers in this school. Ask any of them about how important it is that they get good models at home, in society, all the rest of it. Models are essential. You see it in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Paul writes, follow my example. He wants to set them an example. Why? Because I follow the example of Christ, the best example. So as I follow Christ, so you should follow me. It's interesting, in Titus chapter 2, Paul writes about how to help Christians mature in the faith, and he says this. He says, in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity and seriousness. So here's the thing, right? Words are very important. That's why we spend a lot of time speaking words here on a Sunday. But words that aren't backed up by action are hollow. Hollow, hollow, hollow. You can tell people to live a Christian life till you're blue in the face. But if they can see that you're not trying to live it yourself, they won't believe you. They just won't. Now, when someone becomes a Christian and joins our church, they are going to be looking at you. Probably you more even than me, because I'm sort of the professional kind of one up the front that gets paid to be here and all the rest of it. But, you know, they're probably looking at you guys even more so. They're looking at the old hats, the person that's been a Christian for ages. It's your example that will teach them to what extent should they bother listening to the sermon and switching on and concentrating. It's your example that shows them how seriously to take the teaching. It's your example that shows them how engaged in ministry they should be and how often they should come to church. And let me say, if this applies to the new Christian, times it by 1,000 when it comes to your children. Because guess who their primary example is for what it means to be a mature adult Christian? It's not hard to guess, is it? It's you. And it's really interesting, you know, throughout the whole New Testament, you won't find some of these kids. You won't find youth group. You won't find Christian schools. As good as all of those things are, and I think they're all helpful, and look, we run them here and all the rest of it. But you won't find any of that in the New Testament. You know who the youth worker is in the New Testament? It's not Isaac, although you're good, Isaac. It's not Isaac. It's mum and dad. They're the only youth workers that are mentioned in the New Testament. You see, you're showing your kids through what you do, what it looks like to be a believer. And you may have seen this coming because I've done it in all the other points. The reverse is also true. If you don't gather, you're going to confuse your kids and you're going to confuse new believers, because they'll read the passages like the one we just read that say how important it is to gather as God's church. They'll hear me standing up the front talking about it, like this sermon, how vital it is that we all show up. But if they read that and hear that, and then all their real life examples don't make church a priority and blow it off for any and every reason and only bother to show up, you know, once a month or whatever, well, what do you think will happen? They'll be confused. And there's an excellent chance that when they grow up, church won't be a priority for them either. Oops, sorry, gone too far. Now, I'm sure none of you want that for your children. So if I haven't won you over with regard to anybody else in the disciple-making process up until now, at least gather for them. Well, that's my 4 points. 4 points for how our gathering can build disciples for the Lord Jesus. Okay, by being here, you can encourage others. By being here, you can encourage your leaders. By being here, you can confirm the power of the gospel. And you can also set a great example for your kids and for new believers. It's not bad, is it? Like, just by rocking up, that's all you got to do to achieve all of that. It's so easy. It's fantastic. Amazing what you can be achieved by just rocking up. Well, why not right now make a decision? I want to end with a challenge. Why not right now make a decision? Why not, by God's grace and in reliance upon His Holy Spirit, make the commitment to be here as much as you possibly can for the rest of this year? Now, I know it's not easy sometimes. It's definitely not. And I think especially at the moment with COVID-19, there's a lot of complications and it can be really difficult. See, there might be legitimate health reasons at the moment. If you're streaming online, I know for those of you that are doing that, then you already know this. There are those with health reasons. Just means they can't come to a group like this. It's just not a safe decision for them. And that might be the case for you. I mean, who knows what's going to happen here in Tasmania in the coming months and year. Maybe that will have to go up and down for you personally. And if that is you, please, you mustn't take this series and this sermon as well. Please don't take it as a guilt trip, okay? We want to be a safe church. We want to encourage people to be safe, to look after themselves. This is not about trying to manipulate people into showing up if that's not a safe option for them health-wise. And yes, gathering here, all things being equal, all those points happen. God can work, though, even if you can't be here. And He understands all of that. We understand all of that. These sermons are very much an all things being equal affair. I also think we can expect it to be hard in the coming months. I said this sort of a lot in the last sermon. You know, the COVID regulations, they're annoying. They're annoying and they're limiting. And we've been through a ton of change and we're adapting to new congregations. There's lots of reasons for why church will be difficult. But I want to ask you and challenge you, if you can, to please commit anyway. Because as you've just seen, your presence can play a huge role in Jesus' great mission to make disciples. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful that you are in the business of making disciples, and we wouldn't be here if you weren't. So we thank you so much for that. And we thank you for one another, for the role that each one of us plays in the life of the other. We know that Christianity is not really a solo thing. It's something that's meant to be done in community. And having studied this passage in Hebrews, we can see why that is the case. We need one another. And thank you, Father, that you give us the great privilege to actually be able to participate in your great mission of making disciples, and that we can do that simply by rocking up to church. Who would have thought that something so simple could have such a great impact? Father, help us to remember this. Would you make it a rock solid central part of our why for gathering? And Father, especially in the coming months when perhaps things do get a bit tricky and maybe we get sick and tired of the COVID stuff or we're missing friends that are in the other congregation. Would you help us to remember this and to be passionate and excited about making disciples for Jesus by gathering in this congregation here at 9 a.m.? And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.